Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All
the band is out of the field. He's looking for the ball. He's looking for the ball. He's looking for the ball. He's
looking for the ball. He's looking for the ball. He's looking for the ball. He's looking for the ball. He's looking for the ball.
Pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo.
Good!
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And we're loaded for bear and lots of stuff going on. Xander, what's up, my brother?
How you doing? We got a big week. Sports are finally shaping up a little bit. We got NCAA tournament coming up. Got NBA playoff picture taking form. We got the NFL combine. We got spring training starting. A lot of good stuff happening right now. But first, I wanted to start off today. Did you hear anything about the O.J. Simpson case getting brought up again?
Yeah, they found a knife somewhere. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? That this is still around. The guy's in jail. He's almost dead. What are they worried about now?
I mean, this is really interesting. I mean, a knife that was allegedly found years ago on O.J. Simpson's former property, they're going to test it for DNA to see if this is, in fact, the weapon that was used to kill his former wife and her lover. But, I mean, this is just really interesting that this, you know, this knife has been, you know, been kept this long by, I guess, this police officer who thought the case, you know, was already closed past the statute of limitations and all this. Really interesting stuff. I mean, I've watched a documentary before on this whole O.J. case, and it's quite a trip. I mean, the whole situation, the whole scenario, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, I wasn't alive when the trial happened, but, I mean, what was that like, you know, watching that, you know, play out on a national TV, him being such a big superstar?
Well, I mean, it was, you know, it was a soap opera every day, you know, the trial and the whole thing, and then, of course, it all ended with him in the Bronco, you know, driving on the highway, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, it was almost a guarantee that he was going to beat it, you know, and he did, of course. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of that stuff, right? I mean, it's good for a little bit of entertainment, but after a while, it just becomes old.
Right, yeah. But, you know, if you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend watching that documentary of that case on Netflix. In other news, Marvin Harrison, a little rip on T.O., says the hell with him. Did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, well, you know, T.O. gave him a shot, and the shot's fired, you know. And I mean, you know, T.O. is such a gangster anyways. I mean, you know, what? Keep your mouth shut. I mean, you know, to me, it's just I get tired of hearing, you know, some of this crap. You know, these guys think they're bigger than everything. And to me, I find that a little bit annoying. What about you?
Yeah, well, you know, I was a huge fan of Marvin Harrison. I mean, to me, he kind of represented, you know, the professional athlete, you know, kept his mouth shut. Was a playmaker, was a gamer. I mean, did a ton of great things with the Colts and Peyton Manning. So I was kind of surprised, but I mean, his statement, he says, when getting interviewed about getting in the Hall of Fame, he says, the person who was supposed to get in got in, and that was me. If he didn't get in, talking about T.O., that's his problem. He can talk all the other bullshit like he's been doing. That's on him, but I'm in. My jacket is gold. I will look in the rearview mirror for nobody. So he can get his ass in whenever he gets in, if he gets in. If he doesn't get in, too bad, the hell with him. I mean, I saw this kind of shocked me. I mean, Marvin Harrison is like, I don't remember him ever lashing out or saying anything to the media, you know, more than just about business. But I don't mind it, you know, when it's being, I don't mind talking shit when it's about T.O. because, you know, he is one of the biggest trash talkers of all time. And coming from Marvin Harrison, I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, you know, and why? Why are we still drudging up the Peyton Manning thing from before? You know, now one of his ex-roommates come out and say he didn't do anything. I mean, it's 20 years ago. I mean, are they going to really continue to beat this thing? Is there that little bit of news to talk about that they have to keep talking about this?
I don't know. I mean, it kind of makes you wonder, like, this thing, it happened 20 years ago. I mean, why, if at any time, and why now? Why not 10 years ago? Why not 15 years ago? You know, why didn't it get resolved back then? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I thought it was a little odd that it came out right after the Broncos won the Super Bowl. I mean, that didn't really add up to me. It kind of seemed like more of a smear campaign thing, but it just doesn't make much sense to me. I mean, this thing is 20 years old. Why are we all hot and bothered about it now?
Right. I mean, again, and listen, if he did it, he was wrong. But it's 20 years ago, and I'm tired of dragging stuff up. Let's try to think positive and move forward instead of moving backwards. That's just my opinion. You know, again, if he did it, he was wrong. But, you know, again, it's 20 years ago. You're trying to piece together a case from 20 years ago. And, you know, why did she wait 20 years? You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know.
Well, if we're going to talk about dragging stuff up, how about freaking Deflategate is still in the news? How unbelievable is that?
It must be. There must not be enough stuff out there. Not enough murders out there, I guess. There's not enough. Not enough bad stuff happening. I mean, I just don't get it. It keeps popping up like it means anything. I mean, I'm tired of all this stuff. I mean, there's so many good things to talk about. You know, but here they got us talking about it. So there you have it. But you know. What do you think about Peyton Manning quitting? That's what I want to know. I think he should quit. I wish he would. I'm really kind of disturbed that he's kind of maybe going to linger on. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I think he should. He really has nothing to prove anymore. You know, I mean, he's got five MVPs, two Super Bowls, had the worst season of his career. I mean, it would make a ton of sense for him to hang up the cleats. But I respect the Broncos for leaving it up to him. I mean, I think that's pretty classy of them to do. I honestly don't think he's going to come back. Just the kind of year that he had, it didn't look like himself. I mean, obviously, he's old, almost 40 years old. But I think it'd be the right move to hang up the cleats. And I wouldn't want to see him, you know, go to another team and have an end of his career like, you know, like a Joe Namath or Joe Montana or something like that. So I think it'd be great if he could hang it up like Jerome Bettis did after winning a Super Bowl in his hometown. But yeah, I think he should hang him up, honestly.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm definitely on the side to hang it up because, you know, I'm tired. You know, look, I love him. He's a great ambassador of the game. He's a great player, or was a great player. He's got nothing left. He's got nothing in his tank. Where is he going to go? I think Denver would almost cut him. I mean, they don't want him. I mean, what are they going to do with him? They don't want to pay him. I mean, you know, and I don't blame him. This is a different case than before, right? I mean, he should. It's, you know, and that is the problem with athletes. They don't know when to walk away. And that is a problem that happens over and over again is you see guys hanging on. I mean, you don't remember Willie Mays, but Willie Mays, I mean, he was awful. Willie Mays couldn't play on your Palomino team. Okay. That's how bad he was at the end of his career. But he kept hanging on and everybody kept waiting. Well, Willie's coming back, you know, and you know, certain guys you just have to say, hey, it's time to go. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. What do you think?
Right. I mean, but that's just the tough thing about it. I mean, you look at some of these guys who've been playing for so long. I mean, the guy spent almost half of his life, you know, playing professional football. So I guess the thought is doing anything else, I think, it's got to be scary. I mean, you think about how much time, you know, it's like it's a job, and it just consumes your entire life, really. I mean, your whole life revolves around you being a football player. So, I mean, that's got to be a scary thing. But in whatever case, I think Peyton Manning still will stay very involved in the game. I'd love to see him become a coach. I think he'd be awesome.
I think he'll become a coach, a GM, or an announcer. This is The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. Boy, that segment went fast. We're going to step by here for a break. You miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm on demand. You can get The Sporting Edge every Saturday. We'll be back after the break to talk some more stuff because we get lots to talk about. This is The Sporting Edge with Bob and Xander. We'll be right back after the break.
Mike, you don't get my soul, do you?
Technically, no. But
welcome back to The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And Xander, you know, just a little bit of talk on the NBA. I think the first thing I want to ask you, though, is what do you think about LeBron and Dwayne Wade working out together in the middle of the season? LeBron takes a little trip down to Florida, a couple off days, and he's working out with Dwayne Wade. What do you think?
I don't want to say that I really care, because I honestly don't, but it just kind of, it's not the image I want to see from, like, you know, league superstars. I want to, you know, see guys who are talking trash to each other. Like, yeah, I can't really, it doesn't upset me, but it just doesn't make me think that the league is as competitive as it used to be. I mean, it's kind of hard to put that into words, but it just doesn't really sit right with me. I don't know. What about you?
Well, I don't think the league's competitive at all anymore right now, and I think that's part of going to be the drag at the end of the year. I mean, I don't really care. I mean, you know, everybody, they all shake hands. They like each other. They don't like each other. And they don't like each other. They knock the crap out of each other. But I think that, it doesn't really bother me. But I do get it. And you know, I go back to we actually hated guys. And you didn't, you know, hang out together. And you didn't work out together. And, you know, and that's just the way it was. But, I mean, this whole, you know, you heard Steve Kerr say now, you know, the Warriors are only 55-5 right now. So, you know, they're basically a favorite to get to 72. But Steve Kerr says, well, rest is more important, which I agree. Okay, in this current age. But even in today's world, half the teams are going to be resting guys anyways. So it's going to be one-on-one, and they're so much better that I don't think it even matters. But here you got a coach talking about he's worried about resting first. It's kind of like what you know, what Dungy did with the Colts when they rested when they were 15-0 or 14-0. You know, you're there to play, and the fans want to see it. I mean, why wouldn't you go for it? That's why we pay the big money to be there. That bothers me. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I would honestly love to see them go after it. I understand the rest point. I mean, obviously, they'd much rather win 70 games and win the championship than, you know, win 75 or whatever, 73. And not win a championship, but I don't know if it's going to make that much of a difference. I'd love to see him go for it. I think even with the rest, I think they still might get it anyways. I mean, I think they're just that much better than every other team in the league. But what you got to worry about now is end of the season, you know, these bubble teams that are fighting, if they're going to fight a lot harder than you are, I mean, I can see the Warriors getting beat, you know, by some subpar teams. So, I mean, they still have a little wiggle room, only having 5 losses, but it'll be a little tough down the stretch if they're not playing their big guns.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. I agree. Again, I'm not saying that it won't happen. I just find it distressing. I think they're going to do it easy. I mean, they're just so much better. I mean, look what they did to the Thunder. Now, the Thunder seems to have a trouble closing out games here. That's another problem that they got. I mean, look at the stars they got, and they can't close these games out. That's a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I remember last week I walked into my room, had the Thunder game on, Thunder Warriors. 4 seconds left, I see the Thunder miss a shot, and then I see Steph Curry hit, you know, a 40-footer for the game, and it was awesome. It was so Steph Curry, I couldn't even believe it. I walked in my room, 4 seconds left, and I saw a game winner, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I look at all these things, and I just find it, you know, disturbing. I don't like the whole formation of the league anymore, because this goes back to Charles Barkley's point and those guys' points. That when those guys played, they played 82 games unless they were hurt. You know, they didn't get a night off. Now, they might have taken a night off when they were playing. You know, they didn't play as hard, but they were out there. And these guys, they all travel first class. You know, it's a different game, and that's what Barkley is talking about. You know, these guys are all fresh. And look, I can't criticize them because that's the game, but I find it kind of distressing that it just happens. And, you know, of course, now you've got the grinded out part of the season now, which is just, you know, not even really positioning anymore. There might be a little bit of a dogfight between San Antonio, though. I mean, they got a shot. They're right there.
I mean, yeah, it's amazing how quickly people forget. I mean, the Warriors are going for the record, but, I mean, the Spurs are having almost just as good of a season. I think they have 8 or 9 losses right now. I mean, they're unbelievable. I really would love to see these two teams match up in the playoffs, because I don't think there are two other better teams in the league. I mean, I think Oklahoma City could give either of them a little bit of a run for their money, but in a 7-game series, I think that those two teams are bust. I mean, I think whoever wins that series, which I think is going to happen, is going to win the finals, because I think the East is garbage. I mean, they got some good. I think they got some good young up and coming teams, you know, like the Celtics, but I don't think the Cavs have any chance to take down the Warriors and the Spurs.
No, I don't think so either. And that's another thing. You know, LeBron tweeting out, you know, kind of stopped like ridiculing his teammates again. You know, I'm beginning to go back to that. I don't like LeBron anymore. I mean, he's a great player. Don't get, that's got nothing to do with his play. But to me, it sounds like he's starting to, you know, talk smack again with, about his players and his team. And I don't like that. You see, especially in a professional arena, you got who you got. You better learn to like and deal with or work with the people that you got to work with because you don't have a choice. But guys like
yeah,
you, they try to take
go ahead. LeBron, he just seems like he's getting a little bit too full of himself. I mean, I know he's the greatest player on earth. That might be up for argument now with Steph Curry. But like, I don't need to hear what you think of your teammates. Like, if you got a problem, you got something to say, say it behind closed doors, talk to somebody face to face. I don't want to, you know, read articles and read on Twitter about you bitching about, you know, this and that. I mean, you're an all-star. I mean, be an all-star on and off the court. I mean, nobody wants to hear you and talk shit about your teammates. And I know you're the greatest player in the world, but, you know, nobody really cares. I mean, do your job, be a good teammate, and, you know, be the guy that everybody, you know, used to think that you were. And after, like you said, after the decision, I wasn't a big fan of LeBron. Thought he kind of grew up a lot after spending some time in Miami, coming back to Cleveland. But, I'm kind of, after that whole David Blatt thing and now this thing, kind of getting a little sick of LeBron, to be honest.
Yeah, well, it seems like he kind of reverted back to the old LeBron. And that, I think that's sad for him because that's why he's not Michael Jordan. And I hate to compare everybody to Michael Jordan, but that's, you know, the same reason why Kobe Bryant isn't Michael Jordan, because they just they can't get that sour stench out of their face. And, you know, hey, it is what it is. You know, I'm glad that the season's coming to an end and we'll get here and we'll get into the playoffs. But it's been, I think, a fairly, other than the excitement of Golden State and San Antonio quietly, I mean, the Bulls suck. There hasn't been like anything that I think has been really, it's been spectacular this year. What about you?
No, I mean, that's what pisses me off about the NBA right now. I mean, you have the Eastern Conference, just, it's not even really comparable. I mean, the top three teams in the West, I think, would destroy any of the teams in the East. And it's kind of bad for the league, I think, you know, with such a lack of competition. But I'm hoping in the years to come that, you know, the things are leaving out a little bit. You got to think San Antonio is going to stay up there. I mean, I know Tim Duncan, Tony Parker are not going to last that much longer, but, I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge, I think, you know, is probably still on the near end of his prime. And Kawhi Leonard, they, you know, is quietly, I think, a top five player in the NBA. If not, you know, it's maybe a top three or four, considering his defense. But, you know, a team I'm looking forward to in the future is the Celtics. I mean, I think what they're doing over there is awesome. They got a bunch of, you know, not great guys, pretty good guys. Brad Stevens, young coach, knows the game really well. I think in a couple of years, they're going to be a great team. And I think, you know, hopefully they can rival Golden State. Because I think that's what the thing about Golden State is, they got some great players, but they're the best team in the league. And that's why they win all these games. Because, you know, maybe other teams are better players. You know, one-on-ones, but they just play the game so much better, and that's why they're always winning. So I'm looking forward to the Celtics in a couple of years. Other than that, the Eastern Conference just is kind of pissing me off, and the Bulls have been shit this year. Thought they were going to have a pretty good year with Fred Hoiberg. But, you know, the Cavs have been up and down. I mean, I don't think anybody really cares about the Cavs in the regular season. It's all about the playoffs, and we'll see what happens. But my guess is that even if they make the finals, they're going to be going home without a win.
I definitely agree that you can book it now. I'll call it here that I would be looking for, you know, a 4-0-4-1 series when it's all done with those two. Cleveland does not mesh well together, and part of that reasoning is LeBron, and I think Kyrie, if he ever gets really good, you know, I mean, he's good when he plays, but he doesn't play enough. I think he's another sullen little piece of crap too. So I'm not a big fan, and I think that you got three selfish guys in that team. But we'll get back to it. We'll see how it plays out as the year goes on here. This is the Sporting Edge with Bub and Xander. Make sure if you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. You get it on demand whenever you want it. We're going to stop by here for a break, and we'll be right back. We're going to talk some NCAA basketball. We got the tourney coming up. We'll be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge.
Ah. trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
With Bubba and Xander. And Xander, it's upset city in the NC2A, baby. You don't know who's on top, because if you get to the top, you get knocked off and go back to the bottom again. Let's go. What do you think about this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the best time in basketball. Like, getting ready for conference tournaments, starting up. You get a little taste of what the NCAA tournament is going to be all about. And I think the race for the number one seeds is still wide open. I mean, weekend of the regular season, I think there's still a few teams who can make, I think, a run to the top of the bracket. A team that I'm really looking at is Indiana. I mean, Big Ten regular season champions. They got three bad losses, but, I mean, they've been on an absolute roll lately. I mean, Tom Crean is doing a great job there. And, you know, I think they kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, when I was looking at, you know, preseason basketball at the start of the season, didn't really picture Indiana being that near the top, but, I mean, they really proved me wrong over the past few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just wild. I mean, they go now. Who do you make the favorite right now to win it all?
To win it all, you know what? I think I'd have to go with Kansas. I think, you know, I think Bill Self is a great coach. I think they got some veteran leadership on that team. I'd have to go with them right now. Really tough for me to put, you know, a finger on one team. I also like Oklahoma. I really like Buddy Hield. I mean, he's, you know, one of the top players in the country. But I think I think you really need a good point guard to win it all. I mean, you need a guy who can give the ball to, who can really control the game. And another team I think who can make a run, I don't think they're going to be a number one seed, but Maryland. I mean, they've been struggling lately, but I think Melo Trimble is one of the best guards in the country, and I think he's going to be a really key success to their tournament. I think they're going to be an Elite Eight team at least.
Well, of course, I picked my team along a couple of weeks ago, Michigan State, and I think they're going to win it all again. I think Valentine's unbelievable, and I think that they've got a great run at it, and I think they're probably going to do some damage here, and I think they've got the best chance to win it all. I think that, if I look at it, I say, in my opinion, the legitimate teams that have a chance, Kansas, Michigan State, North Carolina, Virginia, Miami, Xavier, Oklahoma, and Kentucky. I don't think anybody else is going to win other than those there. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I might throw – you say Duke? I didn't hear if you said that.
I did not say Duke. I don't think Duke's got a shot. I think that Duke is
– Okay.
I think the Dukies don't have enough stuff to get through it, and, you know, they could – listen, anybody could win, I mean, obviously. But I don't think that – I think those are the teams I think have a shot. I don't think that Villanova's got a shot. They always fail, never fail to disappoint, even though they're ranked highly up there. You've got teams that show, but who do you think are the bubble teams now? You got any feel there?
Man, that's tough. I'd really like to see LSU make the tournament. I don't think they are, because they just really had a shit season, because Ben Simmons is just such a great player, but I mean, that's a team I'd love to see make it. Who do you got your eyes on making the bubble?
Well, I think that, you know, it's going to be Connecticut took a bad loss to SMU. Of course, SMU and I got in the top 25. So, you know, that could be interesting. I think that the Gonzaga is not going to make it this year. It's going to be real close. You know, Butler, I mean, you know, there's a lot of teams. Of course, listen, we still got a lot of play left, you know. And, you know, I always like those, you know, the first year rounds when you get the shot for some of those cool upsets, you know, a Bucknell or a Monmouth or one of those kind of teams that can, you know, come out at you. And Belmont, if you remember them, you know, they do some crazy things. So it's kind of fun to watch. But I think there'll be some surprises. And, of course, I think there'll be some big names left on the outside looking in. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, another team I'm looking at is Syracuse as well. I mean, they're right there, you know, 19-11 right now. I don't know. I mean, they probably have to win the ACC tournament. I mean, they've been 2-5 against the top 25, just haven't had a great year, but, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, in due time.
In due time is right. It is written, and that's what it'll be. But, you know, I think it's been one of the best seasons though ever. I mean, it's been really fun to watch because, again, every time a team gets to number one, they get knocked off. And, you know, now, you know, if we look, you know, at their rankings, you know, it's basically Kansas, Michigan State, Villanova, Virginia. You know, I don't think Virginia's got a shot either. You know, again, I look at these and think, and what are your thoughts? Do you like that as the top five, or do you think it's something?
Virginia to me is kind of, I put them almost in the same class as Villanova, kind of, you know, more or less shit the bed come tournament time. I just don't, I wouldn't really put them in a big game and, you know, be happy about it. Yeah, looking down the list, I mean, I think North Carolina, they got a lot of talent. And like you said, Michigan State is always, no matter if they're in the tournament, no matter what seed they are, I think they're a team to look out for. And like I said, Kansas, I think, has got a good shot. But, I mean, this is going to be, I think, an awesome NCAA tournament because there's not, you know, I remember a couple years ago when Kentucky had Anthony Davis and they were such an overwhelming favorite to win that it just made me distraught, kind of filling out my bracket, because I thought, if I pick Kentucky to win, which it looks like they most likely will, you know, I'm going to have a better bracket than everyone else. So I don't like picking my bracket like that. I like, you know, finding a team that I think has a decent shot to win. Maybe they're not the favorite. But I think this year is different, because I think you can make a case, I think, for probably 6 or 7 teams that have a legitimate shot. And outside of that, there could be another team that could win. I mean, that's the kind of year that this is. So, I mean, it's awesome. I can't wait to fill out the brackets. Where all the guys, all my friends here, are already getting ready to set up our pools. And, you know, I might even sneak in the high school pool again. I'm a little too old for that. But, you know, a lot of people, a lot of cash, a lot of fun.
Well, you know, it's amazing. And then, of course, tonight you got the UNC Duke rematch. What do you think? Does UNC get the blood back, or you know, Duke?
I think they do. I think they do get the blood back, and I think this is going to propel them into the tournament. I think UNC, you know, is one of my dark horse teams to watch out for.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're awfully good, and you know, we'll see. And then, of course, next week we got the conference tournaments, and you know, some start already. You know, and that this is where, you know, some of the dark horses, you know, got to shine if they want to get it. This is where the real bubble will be blistered, you know, and this is where, you know, LSU's got to really perform really well and maybe they get a shot, you know. But at the end of the day, I mean, they've got to go a long way because there's just too many teams this year. You know, those bubble teams that have it better when there's less, but now there's too many teams that are just too damn good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of teams, you know, some teams are going to definitely need to step up in the conference tournament if they want to come dance time. But how about we go a little out of season here? My man, RG3, there's a report that at least 10 teams are looking at him in free agency. Makes me really excited because I do think RG3 still has a chance to be a really good quarterback in this league. You know, this report came from CBS, and it said, you know, despite all that we know about Robert Griffin III, according to interviews with a half dozen front office talent evaluators, he remains the most intriguing figure in a free agent sweepstakes that begin this month. There are at least 10 teams giving Griffin a hard look, these sources say. I'm guessing some of the teams probably the Cowboys are the easiest choice. I mean, Jerry Jones, I know he loves Johnny Manziel, but the guy is basically unsignable at this point. So grabbing RG3, I think, you know, would, you know, take away any issues with drafting quarterback at number 4 overall. If the 49ers could work, because Chip Kelly, you know, loves working with an athletic quarterback. Hugh Jackson, you know, and the Browns, I think they're definitely in need of a quarterback. And I've heard some talks about the Broncos. I mean, I thought they were going to try to go with Osweiler, but, you know, they're a team, the Texans, the Rams, you know, I mean, I love it. I think RG3 is going to come back with a bang.
What about San Francisco?
I think that'd be great. I mean, Chip Kelly, I mean, I was excited to watch Chip Kelly work with Colin Kaepernick. Apparently, that's not going to be the case anymore. But, I mean, I've been waiting for this day for a long time because, Kirk Cousins had such a great year last year that, I mean, you couldn't fathom putting RG3 back in there. But I do not think this guy is done. And I'm excited. I really hope a team gives him a chance because I think he's still got a chance to do some good things.
I hope so. I mean, listen, he's a nice guy. I got nothing against him. I just know that, you know, he's not, you know, again, this whole setup is tough because of the way he plays. I mean, listen, he's a great player, but, you know, these in this league, these guys get wrecked and they get ruined and they get hit. And I'd like to see him play. I mean, you know, I didn't think that he deserved to be banished the way he was, but that was a whole power struggle thing with Snyder and what the hell's the coach's name?
Gruden.
So, yeah, that was a whole power struggle. And I mean, I think he can play, but again, you know, he's susceptible, especially in a Chip Kelly type offense, to getting wrecked. Okay. You know, it's just the way it goes. And, you know, you go with it. But right now, this is the Sporting Edge. We're going to step by here for a break. If you ever miss an episode, the libertytalk.fm. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Zander. We're going to step by for a break, and we will be right back. We're going to talk a little bit about baseball. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Zander. So, Zander, what's your take on the upcoming baseball season? Pitchers and catchers, a preseason starting, opening day, April 3rd. What's your take?
I am very excited. You know, a little bit of spring training news. A-Rod went deep on his first swing in spring training. You know, I know the guy can be an ass, but, I mean, he's unbelievable. What he did last year, hitting over 30 home runs, it looks like he might be able to do it again. I mean, it's pretty unreal as a guy that age is still doing some great things. You know, we know all about his past, about the steroid use and the lies and all that, but, you know, forget about all that. I mean, the guy still looks like he can play, but I thought to take a couple minutes in this last segment here and look at some possible fantasy sleepers this year. I mean, the top guys I think are pretty obvious. You know, you got your Goldschmidts, your Trouts, your Harpers. I mean, those guys, you know, they're pretty said and done. I mean, you know that they're going to have a great year, I mean, you think. But I thought we'd go to some breakout, you know, / sleeper player I think could, you know, be a good addition to your roster this year. First guy I'm looking at is Michael Franco of the Philadelphia Phillies. I don't know if I said that right. Kind of a weird first name spelling, M-A-I-K-E-L. But, I mean, this guy was a great rookie last year. I mean, a wrist injury kind of derailed his season a little bit, but I think he's a guy who could reach 30 home runs. I mean, flashed a lot of power, and you know he's going to get a ton of at-bats from that Phillies lineup. I think he'll probably hit in a 3 or 4 hole or 5. I mean, either way, the guy looks like he's going to get 600 plate appearances, and he's got a lot of power. Big, strong, young guy. I think he's, you know, definitely a candidate to have a great year. Another guy I'm looking at is another third baseman, actually, is Miguel Sano of the Minnesota Twins. You know, this is another guy who flashed a lot of power last year, and I think 40 homers is definitely, you know, in the vicinity, and especially in a draft like yours where they're basically home runs and RBIs. I mean, I think this guy could sneak up into the third or fourth round. I mean, a guy with that much power potential, I mean, you can't let him slip away. Other guys I'm looking at, not as much power, but I think Addison Russell, you know, is primed for another great year. I mean, hitting in the 8th or 9th slot, you know, might limit his ability to steal bases, but, I mean, I think, you know, the guy's going to put up an average, and I think he had a chance to hit 20 homers as well. So, in a league where, you know, you get points for all categories, not just home runs and RBIs. And I think he's a great addition. You know, steals, average on base percentage. He's going to give you some great things. So, I mean, those are a couple guys I'm looking at. Anybody you want to talk about?
Well, you know, I just think that, you know, first of all, I like to find guys that I think are going to play. And I look for pitchers that are going to give me innings. And I think that obviously these drafts are always won not with the obvious guys, but with the not obvious guys. And I think that I think that you want to look at, you know, down the road a little bit. But I think I want to ask you something first. So what do you think about Miggy this year playing third? And, you know, they say he's in the best shape of his career almost. What's your thoughts?
Well, I love Miggy, first of all, and he better be in good shape because, I mean, his body type, getting older, you know, it's kind of just primed, you know, it's kind of to break down soon. So I hope he's in great shape. And the fact that he's going to play third base, I think, you know, kind of says that he must be in decent shape. I mean, he used to play third a little bit back when he was a smaller fellow. But, I'm a big fan. I mean, Miggy, I think to me, is still the greatest hitter in baseball. I mean, you could argue that Mike Trout is. But Miggy, I think, is my favorite one to watch, and I hope he has another great year.
You know, I agree. I think I got to watch this year as a sleeper, even get him late, is Big Poppy. I think he's going to want to go out in a blaze because this is his last year. It's like a free agent type of deal. I think he's going to want to really pop it up. What do you think?
Right. I mean, and he's Big Poppy's really interesting because, you know, I thought a couple of years ago he looked like he was done. Kind of like Aramis Ramirez when the Cubs let him go, and then he went on to hit, you know, 25, 30 homers for the Brewers. But I think Big Poppy is going to go out with a bang, and I think it's a shot that he could hit 30. I don't think he's going to. I think he'll be in the 20 to 30 range, but, you know, it'd be awesome if he could have a big year and possibly ride, you know, the Red Sox playoff train all the way to the World Series, because I think they got a shot this year. I mean, I know they were absolutely terrible last year, but if they get a couple of guys to step up, you know, and Pablo Sandoval actually has a good year. David Price, I think Clay Buchholz is a huge key there. And they got a shot. They got a real shot because that division, I think, is up for grabs.
And I like Hayward a lot this year for the Cubs. I think he's going to have a big offensive year this year. I think it's going to be his best year ever. That's what I'm looking at. What do you think?
I think Jason Hayward, you know, kind of pissed me off a little bit for the first few years of his career because I thought he was just had so much more potential than he was showing. And last year, I mean, kind of had his mini breakout party. I mean, almost hit 300, I think 20-plus home runs. And I think, yeah, this year is exciting. I think the guy could make a push for 30 bombs, and I think he's going to be a star in Chicago. And they got a lot of great guys. I mean, a ton of great guys in that lineup if you like power. You got Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo. You got Hayward. You know, it's going to be a great year in Chicago. And I hope for the Sox as well, too. I mean, I love the addition of Todd Frazier, and he's another guy in a hitter's park. That can definitely make a push for 30 and, you know, 100-plus RBIs.
Is this the year Nicky Castellano finally breaks out? What do you think?
I think so. I mean, last year definitely showed some signs, and you know, I think he'll be up there. What do you think, 7th or 8th round in your draft? I mean, I think he's got a shot to get up there.
I've had him a couple times. I mean, he's certainly got some stuff, and you know, he shows some skills. I mean, you know, he's an interesting kind of player. I think that you know, who do you look to be your bust for the year? You got any guys that you think are going to be a bust?
Oh, I've only been thinking positive thoughts so far. I haven't really thought about the bust yet, but I think I hate to say it, but I think Bryce Harper is going to have a great year, but I don't think he's going to be number one and number three overall pick worthy. It's my bold call. It could slap me in the face, and no, I hope it does. I mean, I hope he hits 50 home runs, but I don't think he's going to be in that top three category like we're projecting him to be.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, I don't know what to say. He's, you know, he's a good player, but, you know, a lot of expectations, and he's already talking about getting the biggest contract ever. So that, to me, becomes, you know, an issue, and, you know, usually you look for the free agent guys, but, you know, he's already talking about, you know, they having the biggest contract ever. And we saw what happened with Ian Desmond, right? He had his free agent year. He had a horrible year. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. And what do you think about the Mets pitching staff this year? Are they going to be able to duplicate what they did last year?
I think they are. I just don't see any reason why not. I mean, Matt Harvey has already shown that he consistent success in the MLB level. I think Syndergaard made a lot of great steps last year. DeGrom, you know, he's a little older and he's 28, only had like a year and a half of service time. But, I mean, you think that a guy who's been pitching this long and finally figures it out, I mean, I don't think it's just going to go away from him. And I think he's still probably got a lot of arm left. And then Steven Matz. I think Steven Matz is probably going to be the key to this Mets team because I think those three guys, you know, a little wiggle room, but I think they're going to be pretty set in stone. I think, you know, they'll probably win at least 15 games each, I think. But Steven Matz, you know, came on and had a great end of the year last year, and he's going to be the key to being that fourth starter or wherever they slot him at for that Mets team.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, I think their pitching is dominant. Now, what do you think of Nolan Arenado? Do you think he can repeat another big year like he had last year?
I hope so. I think he will. I'm a big fan of Arenado. I mean, every day, I remember, he was on your fantasy team. Every day, he's hitting a home run. It was awesome. A great guy, young, a lot of power, plays in a great park. I mean, there's really nothing not to like. As long as he stays healthy, which he was pretty durable last year, I think, you know, he's a guy who might be able to sneak into the end of the first round. I think definitely second round in your draft.
Yeah, no, I think he probably goes. He possibly goes in the first round because you know you also take the park he's playing at. So we'll get more boned up on our actual we're going to pick because my draft's coming up. So I got to be ready a little early this year, but we're going to have to take care of that. But it's been a great show, and everybody have a nice weekend. We always appreciate you being here. If you ever miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm and check it out. And if you've never checked out the Bubba Show, make sure you check that out because we don't talk sports, but we do a lot of comparable things. We're always looking for the edge, and that's what we try to find in sports and in investing. But that'll do it for today. Everybody have a great weekend. We appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. This is The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll see you next week. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.